Tonight, we are going to be, this is a broad sermon about a deep subject. Another way of saying it, this is a simple sermon about a complex subject. Now, I have, over the years, I can say that now, I've been here years. Over the years, I have really advocated for a good Bible search, word search, either a program, you can get books that do this, but a way of searching the Bible for words. I've really encouraged you to have something like that. That's what this sermon essentially is. This is a word search sermon on eternity. Well, specifically eternal. We're going to be considering eternity tonight. I promise the sermon will not be eternal. Broadly speaking, there are two or three things that the Bible talks about as eternal. And it's pretty easy to figure this out, right? Literally all I did is I went into my Bible program and typed eternal, and then it came back with a lot more verses than we're going to talk about tonight. But as you consider, and this is what you could do in your own study, you do a word search for a word, and you can sort of look at all the verses and break down, you know, what does the Bible say about this topic? And as you look at the word eternal, there's really only about three things that the Bible talks about as being eternal. Now, one, of course, is the Creator and several of his qualities, but things to do with the Creator, right? Deuteronomy 33, 26 through 27. There is none like God, O Jeshurun, who rides through the heavens to your help, through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Eternal God. This phrase, eternal God, appears a couple of times. Romans 16, 25 through 27. To him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed through the prophetic writings, has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now in Romans 16, a very particular application of the word eternal, right? Now, Deuteronomy was just sort of generic eternal. But Romans 16, eternal God means what? That this plan, this mystery that was from long ago and now has been disclosed now, well, that's able to happen because he is eternal. Who cares how long ago it was if you're eternal? The whole plan is in his head at once. And now it has been revealed, of course, to them. He's talking about the prophetic writings of the gospel, right? And I think the writings that they were, Paul and the other apostles and some of the prophets in the New Testament, were making known things that God had known forever. God had known these things. But now it was being revealed to the people, right? Romans 1:20, his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power. Power that transcends time. Have you ever thought about that? Eternal power. Everything in this world fades. Maybe you're strong at 20, but at 50 not so much, and at 80 not so much, and then you're dead. And then you don't have any strength. God's power is eternal, right? He is as strong now as he was at the beginning, even before the beginning. I have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made so that they are without excuse. Ephesians 3, 8 through 13, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, now, this is the similar idea to Romans. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authority in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose. A purpose that was always in place. And this is one of the things I try to stress, right? And this is particularly important as you talk to people who are still following Judaism, right? Christianity was not a plan B. It was not this sort of, oh, Judaism didn't work, so I better come up with a new plan, right? This was the eternal plan, the plan that has always been in place, the plan that was always going to happen. This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. So, number one, the first category of things that are eternal is God, godly things, things that are to do with him and his very nature, being eternal. It is, I think, not a coincidence. I thought about including these, and now I am just anyway. When Moses asks the people of Israel, they'll ask me, what's his name? What do I say to them? You tell them, I am has sent me to you. And then Jesus later on in John chapter 8, when he's discussing with the Pharisees about Abraham, he says, before Abraham was, I am. He does not care about time. He is eternal, everlasting, both into that direction and that direction, although even that doesn't even make sense. The second category of things that are eternal is things unseen. Can you tell what that is? I thought that was a pretty good picture. It's hard, maybe hard to tell. The elephant in the wood. It's sort of hidden there, right? Things unseen. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. We do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary, temporary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. The things that are seen are transient or temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. What are the things that are unseen? I don't think he's talking about, like, you think about in their perspective, well, they didn't really know about atoms and subatomic particles and all these various things. You can't see. There's a lot of stuff that we can't see with the naked eye. That's not what he's talking about, right? He's talking about this world, the physical things. This is temporary as opposed to things that are not physical, things that are eternal. This existence is, I like the word transient. Do you ever use the word transient in your everyday speech? It's very ephemeral, right? It's just sort of there and then gone. It's very temporary. I like that word a lot to describe this physical existence. It is transient. I'm here for a moment and then something else happens. 2 Peter 1:10 through 11, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And this sort of goes with our lesson this morning, right? Rome, how long did Rome last? I don't know, a couple hundred years. How long did Israel last? Israel actually lasted quite a bit when you think about it. 1,000 years, let's say, on just 800 years maybe. How long will America last? I don't know. Surely, my guess would be less than 1,000, almost certainly. Every kingdom that has ever existed is temporary, except for one kingdom, right? The eternal kingdom, the kingdom that is not like the other kingdoms, the kingdom that cannot be seen, the kingdom that is not physical in nature, that kingdom will be eternal, the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father who loved us and gave us an eternal comfort and good hope through grace comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Eternal comfort. Now, I'm not sure based on the grammar of this, is that the kind of comfort that it is, or is that how long we have the comfort? I'm not sure. Maybe there's not an appreciable difference between those, right? But this is a thing that we have forever, this comfort that comes from God. No matter, and I think it's particularly poignant contrasted with this passage, right? The light momentary affliction. Well, things that are not comfortable to me, that are hard and in this life unpleasant, those things are temporary compared to the eternal comfort of good hope that God has given me looking to the future. Now, what we see that we've gone 2 out of 3. What we see is for something to be eternal, it must be fundamentally not of this realm. Everything dies. Everything breaks. Everything breaks is one of my dad's favorite sayings. He just says that all the time because he has to buy new stuff all the time, right? How long have you had things that you've bought? It breaks and then you have to buy a new thing. That could apply to body parts too, right? Everything breaks, guys. So we think about the physical. Everything that is physical is temporary. For a thing to be eternal, it must be not physical. Like God, who is spirit, like godly things which are not fleshly. One of the major contrasts in Scripture is the flesh and the spirit, is it not? Now, the third thing is the afterlife. Things that we're thinking about, things that are not physical in nature. Well, there's God and his things, and there's a lot of different unseen things that he talks about. The last category of those things would be the afterlife, right? Matthew 25, 41 through 46, he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. These are all temporary things. It's interesting, right? The things that he's just listed. Thirst, hunger, stranger, naked, in prison. Those are all fundamentally temporary things. And yet, because of the actions that we did during the temporary stuff, then they will also answer saying, Lord, when did we not see you hungry or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? He will say to them, truly I say to you, as you did to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. If we're thinking about things that aren't physical in nature and talking about eternity, well, God, sure, godly things, things of God, I shouldn't say godly things, but things that are of God, then the unseen things that we talked about, right? The kingdom and the hope and the comfort. The last category of eternal thing is you. You ever thought about that? You are eternal. Now, not your meat suit. Your meat suit is not eternal. That's not going to last maybe 80 years, right? But you, the actual you, because you are not your body. That's an important concept in Scripture. You are not your flesh. You are something beyond that, something greater than that. You are eternal. You will last forever. Now, the difference that this passage highlights, right, there are apparently two eternal destinations. Now, we could think about these aisles right here. You can either go down this aisle. Which aisle do I want to be righteous? I don't know. Who's treated me well recently? No, that doesn't know how it works. You could go down either aisle, right? One into eternal, what does he say, punishment, and the other into eternal life. But the point is, you will be eternal. You will last forever. Remember Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 2:8 through 10. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. We have some glory now here, true, right? The word is not bound. The things that are happening for the elect would be now, things that are happening now. The salvation that we obtain now, but the glory that will last far beyond now into eternity. 2 Thessalonians 1:6 through 9, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. On the one hand, eternal glory for those who are the elect, those who are saved. On the other hand, eternal destruction away from the glory. And we see some eternal things in this, right? God's glory is eternal. But not everybody will spend eternity in the presence of that glory or participating in that glory. I wonder, those who are lost, those who spend eternity in this destruction, this punishment, will they know? Judgment happens before then, so I imagine they'll know. An eternity of knowing that something else is going on that you could have been a part of. That's a hefty thing to think about. An eternity to know what could have been. Now, I have a thing, an analogy. Keith! I'm calling upon you. Come on up here, Keith. This can be difficult to visualize. We're going to see how this goes. Where's the other end of this rope? I don't even know. It's an eternal rope. You take that end and go that way. Just keep going. Go as far as you can. You're going to go out the auditorium, but that's fine. I don't think you can loop around the auditorium. I really wanted 200 feet of rope, but whatever. Keep going. Keep going. Just go. Just go. I don't know how far he's going to go. That's okay. Just ignore the man behind the curtain. Okay. Now, I have a knot at the end here. You can't see the knot. Keith's working real hard back there. That's fine, Keith. You're fine. Nobody knows where you are now. This knot right here, everything past this knot. Let's say this is all of human history. This little end right here. This is the entirety of human. I don't know how long it'll last. Let's say we get another 1,000 years. So that puts us at around 7,000. That rope is eternity. It's hard to visualize that, to think about that. If I'm holding this in my hand, let's even say for argument's sake, the width of my pinky is my life on earth. Let's say 80 years, if I'm lucky. That rope, Keith, is out the door almost, out the front door. Even this is too short, right? This rope that he's got running all the way out there, not long enough to represent eternity. How many times could you fit all of human history in eternity? Well, if we're just going by the rope, of course, there is a limited number, but even that doesn't make sense because it would just keep going forever and ever. We could have Keith go to Tulsa, and it wouldn't be long enough. We could have Keith go to Miami, and it wouldn't be long enough. We could have Keith go to Tokyo, and it wouldn't be long enough. Okay, Keith, you can come back now. I'm just letting go. He'll figure it out. It's hard to conceptualize eternity, right? Because, well, humans, we have a hard time grasping infinite things. We don't think that way. We don't really process things in that way. Thanks, Keith, for helping out. So the question I want to conclude with is, what keeps us from focusing on and thinking about the eternal? Because if you think about just that analogy, you can think about it in a number of other ways. The proportion of your life compared to eternity is just minuscule. And yet, what do we have trouble focusing on? We have trouble visualizing that and thinking about that and conceiving of that. And when we have sin, when we struggle with temptation, when we falter and fall short of the glory of God, is when we do not keep this, I think, firmly fixed in our minds. How such a small amount of time my life is. So small. What keeps us from focusing on the eternal? 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. We do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Amen. Raise your hand if you're wasting away. Now, if you're under 18, good news, you're not wasting away yet. Biologically speaking, you're still growing. But if you're past 18, 18 to 20, you're wasting away now. Sorry. We're all wasting away, right? The outer self is wasting away. Our inner self, and this is my point, right? You are not your body. You are eternal. You will last as long as that rope goes on. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. The things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. My problem is my eyes, partially, right? Because the things that are seen, and I think we could apply the things that are touched would be an apt use here. The things that are smelled, the things that are heard. We focus on these physical things, but they are transient. And it's difficult because that's what we see, right? Even in the text, it's hidden in the, not hidden, but implied in the text. That's the thing that we focus on, the thing that we visualize, the thing that we see, because it's right in front of our faces, as opposed to that further thing, the eternal thing. Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting. I like this word fleeting, too. The fleeting. Some of you, I'm sure, in your Bibles have passing pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. The eternal thing, right? Now, I'm confused. I'm not confused, but I doubt how much Moses knew about eternity. But still, the concept of not focusing on the current in-my-face temporary thing, but looking to the future, right? Looking to the eternal thing. But the fleeting pleasures of sin, they're so immediate. They're so satisfying. They're so right now. They're so tempting, aren't they? Those fleeting pleasures of sin. 1 John 2:16 through 17, for all that is in the world, desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. And if we're thinking about our language that we've been using, there's spiritual things and physical things. Desires of the flesh, desires of the eye, the pride of life, those are the flesh, not from God, from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. What is it that keeps us from focusing on the eternal? These three things. These are the three things, right? The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what keeps us from remembering that I will endure long past my body. I will endure long past you or your body. Gideon's body, for example. Gideon will live, hopefully, past me. But we will exist in perpetuity forever, Gideon and I, won't we? We will last forever. And the things that I am doing in this life will affect his eternity. That's a heavy thought. Now, I got a picture of sushi up there because I really like sushi. I know Keith likes sushi. Keith is just, this is all about Keith tonight, apparently. This could be something else for you. The physical, the flesh, that is what distracts from eternity, isn't it? Those desires. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Then if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seating at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above and not on things that are on earth. That's my encouragement tonight. Think about eternity more. Fundamentally, the things that are above are all things that are eternal. We could even think of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are eternal things. Well, the Philippians passage that I don't have as memorized, whatever is true, whatever is good, whatever is lovely, honorable, I don't know, but you know the passage I'm talking about. Those are eternal things. Set your minds on the things that will last forever, could be a way that we think about this, and not the things that are transient or fleeting or temporary. Because the things that are above, the things that are eternal, matter infinitely more. So some concluding questions, and then we'll be done. How often, this is a personal question, right? How often do you think about eternity? Just think about your, let's say last week even. You were going about your business, you probably went to, was last week Thanksgiving? No. Because that was a time when we thought about temporary things, wasn't it? Although maybe if you were thankful, I'm thinking about the food. How often do you think about eternity? Just you're going about your business at work and you're conversing with friends and family and you're doing your family stuff and whatever it is that you do. How often are you thinking about, just simple question, but again, simple but deep, simple but weighty. Do you orient your actions in their eternal consequence or ramification when you think about what you do in your life? Do you think, what are the eternal ramifications of this action? Just another question, right? What keeps you, and again, yours is going to be different than mine, what keeps you from considering the eternal weight of your actions? And when we think about eternity, I think it gives us a little bit more gravity in our choices, because I like that passage that talks about Moses, the fleeting pleasures of sin. I might do this thing and it makes me feel good for a week or a month or a year. Maybe it even makes me feel good for 60 years. But then what does it mean for eternity? And was the pleasure of that 60 years worth eternity? Like, just think about just how the comparison between them, right? What keeps you from considering that? Maybe it's something different. Finally, are you ready for eternity? This world is temporary. Raise your hand if your body is going to end. Now, maybe it'll end when Jesus comes back. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to not have to actually die, just Jesus comes back and that's the end of it? That'd be great. But that'd be the end of your body still. the end of your ability to choose. And this is, I think, the way I want to end the lesson. Your ability to choose righteousness is also a temporary thing. You're not going to always have the ability to choose righteousness. You have that choice now, hopefully. You have that ability before you tonight, and maybe tomorrow, and maybe the next day, and maybe the day after that. But your choice, your window of opportunity is very finite. And when compared to eternity, it is minuscule, but a vapor. Have you made the choices you need to make in the time that you have to make them?